Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cool Cool Cool
Cool Down.
Down, yeah, that's the one. Siddle knows how to bring it home, Jen. Siddle, what do you think? I think Siddle brings it really well.
Did you get enough cool in there, bro?
Bro, they've been cool because they've been sitting in second spot for a long, long time.
Hey, man, hey, bro. My top four has been so secured, so I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm just relaxed.
Taking it easy. That's how it does it. Anyway, gentlemen, we've got in the house Matthew Waite, Matinho Mason, a.k.a. That's what we call him around here. We've got Celo Lolokale, the loud financial devil man.
And I've got the beard in my head.
Hey, what beard is that?
Oh, cheers, Matty. Cheers, Matty. That's good.
Cheers.
School night, guys. School night.
Yes, coach.
Yes, anyway, yeah, as the coach was saying there, we've got the King of the North, Nick Starthard, and then we've got the Dengasaurus, a.k.a. the Denganator, Wonga Denga, all the way from the north of London. And Wonga, you know, Arsenal not too bad. They ended off on a high there, 2-0 victory.
It didn't move anywhere.
On a high.
What high?
Oh. It didn't okay, no highs there for Arsenal. No, absolutely no highs. Nope. Guys, just want to say thank you to everyone who joined us in the Discord channel. The link will be in the bio here today, so feel free to keep joining us. We had a live sort of voice channel moment during the game. Wonga Denga was absent. I don't know what happened there, Wonga. Maybe you can tell everyone what happened to you. People were asking for you. They're saying, Where's Wonga? We had no Arsenal representation.
Up until
your brother showed up.
No, the thing is, I was watching at home, and I was with my parents, and there's only one TV. Can't be doing that in front of him.
What are you saying about this? Are you embarrassed by us, Wonga?
Yeah, it sounds like he doesn't want to bring his friends home.
No, but it wouldn't have worked out.
It wouldn't have worked out.
Next thing we're saying nonsense, and then his friends are like, What?
Exactly.
Are these the friends that you keep?
That wouldn't have worked out, I can guarantee you guys.
Who's this now? Liverpool coming in clutch?
Who's swearing there? That's what they would have said.
Who's swearing exactly?
Two new subscribers there, or not subscribers, two new viewers. We've got NutEater67Toe, that's an interesting one. And then we've got Liverpool coming in clutch. We welcome the Liverpool fans, guys. I mean, awesome.
Let me just talk about the Liverpool season for a second. I doubt these names, eh? This could be like Marcus. Like such a Marcus.
This is incredible.
He's just created aliases just to bait us.
Exactly, bait us, man.
Right, guys, but Premier League D-Day. Obviously, let's start with the first game. Arsenal 2, Brighton 0. Wonga, you watched that game. Like I said, we knew nothing. And to be fair, no one really cared what was coming out of London from that specific area of London anyway. But tell us what happened there on the day.
Yeah, like, that's the truth, Claudio. I found myself also switching between matches when Arsenal was winning. Obviously, now my concern was the other teams. And then I turned to Tottenham. And it was happy days for me for a while. And then Bale and Kane decided to... I don't know what they said to Kane when they... I saw the coaching staff, they whispering something to Bale. And who else did they put on that time? I can't remember. I can't remember who they put on.
Lucas Moura.
When they came on, game changed, and yeah, my hopes went out the window. But I mean, Arsenal. Look, for me, this is something they should have been doing again. There were games like we played against teams like Brighton, the teams that are below us, and we should have beaten them, but we dropped many points. And
there's not many below put you, us in, to be fair. Though.
Oh,
it's half the league below them.
Yeah, but we're talking about
we should have done that long time ago.
Well, yeah, that's what I saw. I saw a lot of Arsenal fans on Twitter saying that was like a really business, like almost boring victory. Why couldn't they do that for the whole season against those kind of teams? Because it was those kind of games where Arsenal had been tripping up, and it was kind of like they save it for the last day to have this very business-like, very uncontroversial, just get the points on the board kind of game. And it's like, why didn't you do that for the whole year?
And they've been doing it for the last couple of games now. They've been doing it for the last couple of games. Even the last one, they won 3-1 in the last game, and in this one, 2-0. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, business-like. Yeah. Business-like at the wrong time of the season. You two business-like from Christmas, man.
Yeah. Exactly. So in a way, I was, you know, I won't lie to you. I was pretty like, when I saw Spurs were down 2-0, I was like, oh, actually going to sneak in a spot here, you know? And when they went out, it's like,
Little did you know. Matt had a trump card up his sleeve.
Yeah,
100. Ended up being a good day, 4 goals. And then, again, when I look at it, I'm like, look, I think at the end of the day, again, I think it is actually good. Because, I mean, if we went to Europe, we're going to just come back again. It's going to be hopeless. We're just going to collect that money that you get for making it in that whatever, that if they give us anything in that Conference League. But, I think it's good. We're not in there. We need to rethink what's happening in that team and then work our way out. I mean, well, work our way up again.
Guys, can we just welcome M-Dog Uru? I think it's the first time he's made an appearance on our show. Can everyone just give him a little round of applause? Thank you very much.
How's it? What up, M-Dog?
Yeah, so... M-Dog's calling. On that note, Wonga, just to end off the Arsenal sort of discussion, because let's be honest, no one really cares apart from that part on that topic, apart from you. Sorry, I got tongue twisted there. Can you give us a ranking out of 10 there in terms of what you'd give your season for Arsenal and, of course, Arteta's performance?
Four. Three.
Didn't even have to think about that, guys.
And Arteta, I remember you asked the same question last week, and I said 4. I would give it, even if looking at it again, 3. Even Arteta's performance as well, 3. And I rate that relative to everyone else as well. Or looking at all the other managers,
three out of ten.
I mean, should at least be 5 out of 10 because he finished halfway on the table.
Look at the players we have. Look at the players we have. And look who finished. It's just the way we played. I mean, when Arteta came in, Claudio, that's what I kept telling you. When Arteta came in, the difference with, I liked the difference in Arsenal from Emery. They looked like they were a team that wanted to win. And that was the first couple of matches. But going more into the season, it started looking like Emery again. You know, I don't think anyone's mentioned it, but it literally started looking like Emery again. We were flat. And there's this thing of when on Saturday I was going through, I think many people are doing it as well, going through a lot of the matches. And you could see, like, if I watched the Chelsea, looking at all the teams above us, there was intent in what they were trying to do. You could see there was, every time they got to the box, I saw Liverpool as well, there was that one pass that Mane, I don't know if you saw it, when he kicked the ball over his head, got it to Salah. And they were through on goal. I mean, that's the difference between us, Arsenal, and the other teams. Is we get the ball in the middle, and we want to make sure we want the pass that leads us into the box has to be perfect, unless it's coming from the wing. But they don't try and penetrate teams. It's always around the box, then cutting the wing. For me, I just can't deal watching that.
I was watching Premier League today, and Ian Wright said it perfectly. He said that Arteta's too stuck in his ways in terms of playing in a certain way, where you've got a guy like Joe Willock who's gone out and scored 8 goals in 14 matches. Yeah. He scored more goals than all your midfielders, and he was only at us for half a season. So, I mean, Joe Willock doesn't fit his style of football, but I mean, he's doing it with a very average team. I mean, imagine he had the players that Arsenal have around him playing in a way that suits him, you know, you could have benefited. So he's either going to have to do a clear out and get the players that's going to suit his style, which is very similar to a City style. And, you know, Pep had to take a season off, not winning, rebuild the team and get it right. You know, you're not going to get it right in the first season, probably not the next 3 seasons, if he's going to stick in that way. So for a side like Arsenal now, I would suggest or recommend that they have, you know, a plan A, B, and C. You know, you can't be stuck in your ways, well, you know, idolizing
that.
Nick,
as a coach, though, but as a coach, do you, it's a risky game to go in there and say, I'm going to stick with my style. See, this is one thing where you've got to go. He's either been backed by the board going, he knows he's got another season or at least another half a season to be able to do what he's doing to try and, like, show them that the players he has for his style aren't the right players, so he can try and move players on. So maybe that was part of the thing, so he could do that. But like you were saying, from a coaching perspective, you've got to go in there and get the results. And by getting the results, you have to do what's necessary and work with what you have.
100%.
But you were saying in terms of Warlock, I've got good news for you, Nick.
Yes.
Apparently, Steve Bruce is asking for more money, and he wants money to sign or bring Warlock back to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be very excited, but, you know.
Nick doesn't sound excited. He's like,
it's never straightforward.
But he's like, oh, fuck, Steve Bruce is still there. Oh, fuck.
Listen.
Can never be truly happy.
I called it, guys. So we're going to speak about my team now, but I called it. You recorded the last show there, Claudio. Go back there. I said it's going to happen. A lot of you said it's far-fetched, and I called it. So, yeah, I think it just shows you how sort of closely matched the bottom half is, probably from the guys that were safe to probably where we are. I think Aston Villa were quite – I think they were 10 points clear of us. But I mean, I called Wolves this season, earlier on in the season. They were con artists. People telling me that they're a good team. I know they lost their striker, but guys, they couldn't finish higher than a Newcastle managed by Steve Bruce. Nah, not for me.
But I think that's why the coach even left. That's why they even parted ways, because I never knew this, but apparently there was some tension between some of the players and Nuno. Apparently the players were questioning some of his methods.
Couldn't have been the Portuguese ones.
Probably all of them.
There's not many that are not Portuguese, bro.
You know what? They're all represented by the same agent. They're all just calling Jorge Mendes going, no, listen, we can't work with this guy. And apparently they're being linked with another Portuguese manager, the old Benfica coach. Apparently he might be coming in there. But as you
the guy
were,
with
Nick.
The white hair. The guy with the
No, that's not Jesus. He's his job.
Yeah. No, I think, listen, a positive from my side, you know, would be a Joe Willock coming breath of fresh air. You know, he's going out there to prove that he is actually a good player, a competent player that could potentially play for an Arsenal. And I don't see a reason why he can't.
True.
You know, he's done it from the start of a game, and he's done it from the bench three times. And I think I chatted to you guys earlier, you know, going into, Claudio, you had mentioned going into a tournament, you know, you want the players firing, being called up for your national teams. I don't understand why he wasn't even put in the preliminary squad. You know, they're going to cut another 7 players, but I'm still
33 players in a squad. Wow.
Yeah. They're going to cut 7. And if you look at it, they more than likely were set with their midfielders. Their midfielders aren't going to change. They're going to cut from the defenders and the attacking options. But for me, a Willock who's, like I said, has very limited resources in terms of service, has done that. You know, if you put him with good players, I think he could help a team like England. But yet again, that's not necessarily for me to say. But I think to end the season off on a good note was great. I just do think that we will be in the same position next year. I might be saying to you guys, yeah. No, I personally think that, you know, we will just, if there's no change, we need change. You know, we can have this small budget, but we need different ideas. Quite an exciting sort of, or quite ironically, our assistant coach was brought in from.
Where's that guy, man?
No, he's there.
Steve Bruce put him on the sidelines and hit him. Newcastle's fault. The PR team put him on the website going, look at our signing. Was this assistant coach?
No, it
was.
Steve
Bruce was like,
No, he got pissed off. But, I mean, since he's come in, our loss ratio versus win ratio is significantly less. Yeah, so it was much better. I mean, we are a completely different team. We have different styles. We've played in a diamond. We've played with 5 at the back, 3 at the back. And we look like a team that's hard to break down at times. And I firmly think, you know, everyone says credit must go to Bruce. But it's a little bit strange that this man comes in and then we completely change and the players start fighting. So I think that you know, change does help, and it's a breath of fresh air, and it saved us in the end. But if Bruce is going to be there long term, he generally gets a team. In general, he gets teams relegated. So if you keep him long enough, you will eventually get relegated. And that's just how his record's been. Oh, but as you said, Claudio, I'm sure you guys don't really care about my team.
No, Nick, hold on. So I actually forgot to ask Wonga this, but seeing as we're speaking about Newcastle, we're going to ask two things. Wonga gave Arsenal 3 out of 10 for the season's performance. I see Christopher Lawrence, our other sort of Arsenal affiliate. Wonga, you might as well answer this quickly. Arsenal player of the year for the season. Who would you give that to, seeing as we've got Lawrence on the line? And then we're going to ask the same question to Nick.
Oh, look,
can Wonga say Joe Willock?
I think.
That's brilliant.
It has to be Joe Willock.
Look, I think obviously the Arsenal guys, it would be Bukayo Saka. The performance he's played, he's looking at his age as well and the performance he's given, I think his performances have put us where we are in the league. And that says a lot. So if he wasn't there, you can imagine we'd have a different story. And then, just like Christopher saying, I do rate Tierney as well. I rate Tierney and Smith Rowe. I think they were also very, very vital in us changing things, especially when it came to the time in December when we're on our bad run.
I want to ask about Pepe, man. Don't you think Pepe also? No, I'm not saying that he's your player of the year. But I'm just saying that hasn't he shown in the last, let's say, last 10 games in Europe and in the league that he's actually some promise of that £72 million that you spent, because he scored two the other game. He scored in Europe, like
he's doing well in Europa,
he did quite well at the back end. So I'm sure you're hoping that he can take this into the next season.
Yeah, look, I really do. He's done well in these last few games. It's just unfortunate that it comes towards the end of the season, because you know, now there's a space come, you know, the next season. You can't like wait till next week and then carry on this. It's easier to carry on that form when you're going, you know, coming next week. But now they're on a break. He's not even in, obviously, he's not playing in a European league. I mean, this Euro is going to be, so he's going to be off. Yeah, he's going to be off completely. So that's the downside of it. But I hope he does carry that form on to the next season, because we need it. We need it. That's the honest truth.
So big question for you and Nick, or for everyone really, guys, which signing was, because just seeing what Christopher's saying, he's saying Pepe's been good on and off, but he's not worth the money though. So Pepe's signing, £72 million, or the amount of money spent by Newcastle on Golinton, which one is worse?
Golinton, guys. Because at least people can score.
Are we just saying that because Joe Linton represents all of Newcastle's big spend?
Yeah.
Whereas with Arsenal, they could kind of hide behind, you know, Pep comes in, he doesn't perform, but they've got other players around him who can still do a job. I wonder if maybe that's tinging what we're saying a bit. Because Joe Linton's also come towards the end of the season, he's also had a few goals, put a few away.
Yeah.
Maybe also to do with the new assistant manager changing up the system a little bit. So, you know, it's more a like-for-like comparison.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, in his defense, you know, I sort of saw a tweet the other day where his link-up play is improved. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you look at him in front of goal, he looks like a gazelle that's just been born and is trying to start running. it's really hard to watch. But if I'm honest with you, you know, as a Newcastle fan, our record, we were the world record signing when we signed Alan Shearer for 15 million. Then we've signed Michael Owen for 17 million. And we didn't break that until two seasons ago when we signed Almiron for 21 million. And he's okay. He's not a world beater, but he's okay. And then we go double that and we get flipping Jolinton, who is an absolute... He's a nightmare. And for me, you know, I Yeah, and you know, you get excited, you know, you get excited for big name signings. You know, when you're spending 40 million, you're thinking, wow, we've got some player here. He ripped up the Bundesliga. But did he really? I don't know. Then you start to think what the Bundesliga is and like what sort of teams are playing in the Bundesliga and what sort of competition there is there. So I don't know. I would say, I don't know, like Matt says, like for like, really. Eesh.
I think Claudio. So for me, I would say it was Pepe. You know, again, and why I say it's Pepe because, and we did mention it the other show as well, is that Pepe was a second option. I think the first option we had was Zaha, who I hear is also now willing to leave. Willing to go to any top four team if they are interested in him. But our first option was Zaha. And we could have taken him again. A guy who is in London, flipping grew up in England. There's no need to move. Probably would have cost us half what Pepe's cost us.
What? No ways. You remember what Palace wanted? Palace wanted.
No, they were gonna. It would have been 80. That's what they went. They went to get it because they wanted 80.
Oh, yeah. It is. Oh, yes. Okay, but still, I would have paid that much for Zaha rather than Pepe.
If you've got Pepe and Jolinton for £10 million and they flop like they have done, no one would really complain. But I mean, you're just looking at the price tags and it's like, well, what did we actually waste that money on? There's been a lot of £10 million signings in the league that have been like, they just didn't adapt to the league. What you sort of put it to. But now when you're spending 40 to 80 million pounds on players
Listen to this. Four goals in 31 games for Jolinton. Zaha, 11 and 30, and then Pepe, 10 and 29. At least Pepe scored 10 and 29. Jolinton, 4 and 31, guys.
But Palace, Arsenal, Newcastle, we know the issues they have there. We know Palace, Zaha is well established. He's the talisman. Pepe, French boy, coming in, trying to find his feet. Also, at times, you mentioned the gazelle sort of metaphor, Nick. At times, you know, I think Zaha looks like a baby giraffe on ice skates sometimes, like with the way, in my opinion. I think the lad, you know, he was given the opportunity at Manchester United. He couldn't crack it there. So what makes you think spending £80 million on a player like that back then would have done something for Arsenal? I don't think it would have been any different.
Wasn't going to be worth it.
Nah.
He also only turns up when he wants to. If the team's not playing well, he sulks and he's sort of special.
Kanmo, welcome back, man. I like what you're saying here to Wonga. Wonga, you wanna reply to this? You're saying special hi, Wonga, eighth behind Spurs there.
Far down.
But Pepe, honestly, I was expecting a lot from Pepe. That's maybe also why, because I mean, he had a good season. I think that's what put the price tag on him as well. But he came to Arsenal. I think he scored in his 22 goals in the full season at Lille, and I think that's what they were expecting. I mean, that's why you're going to spend that much money on a guy. They're expecting the goals. Expecting him to do it by himself at times, like you've seen in the last couple of matches. Lastly, when he came to Arsenal, I think the first season he played 31 games, scored 5. Now he scored 10. It is better than last season, so all you can hope for now, because he's with us, is that he scores more next season.
So yeah, I mean, he's doubled it, so maybe next season he'll get 20.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I mean, sometimes guys need time.
That's not always how numbers work, guys. That's true. Look forever. Because then you could double where Arsenal finish and next season they finish 16th.
That's true.
Right, Nick. Out of 10, what would you give Newcastle this season?
Definitely. It has to be. I think the finish really papers over the real cracks that are in the club at the moment. So I honestly think a 4 out of 10 is as high as it can maybe go.
If you were offered 12th at the beginning of the season,
I think with
3 games to go,
to be fighting relegation.
To be fair, no. But okay, Matt, let me put it this way. 5 games to go, we weren't safe, and Fulham were right up our backsides. And if Fulham actually went on a run and weren't as shit as they were in the last couple of games, we would have been pulled into it. And he's, you know, that's why Newcastle fans right now are so frustrated, because he looks like this absolute hero. Yes, I would have taken it. If that's the question, yes, I would have taken it. But we should never have been in that situation in the first place. That's why I'm pissed off. Because, you know, you look at teams that we have beaten, some in the top half, some in and around us, and we really did struggle. And I think that's, I just think with the quality of players that we have that Benitez never had, he's only matched what Benitez has done. And he's been lauded a saint by all the journalists that love him because he's English. So yeah, I think a four is enough for me.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's fair enough. Just before we move on to the other games, we've got Chris asking us manager of the season, and he's saying barring Pep Guardiola, which is an interesting one. I mean, my shout immediately is Steve Bruce. Anyway.
The right, hero of the North.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I think it's definitely David Moyes, from being taking a team from what, 16th, 17th last season. I guess yeah, they were 16th because Villa ended 17th. To 6th on the log into Europa League from 16th to 6th. That's 10 places, guys. That is amazing. I definitely give it to him. Pep has won the league already. I'm not saying he's not the manager of the season, but obviously he's not looking at Pep. I think David Moyes is definitely manager of the season. Has to be.
I agree with Cello, and for the exact same reasons. It's obvious that, and the way they've played as well, it wasn't like a fluke. I mean, they fully deserved where they are.
Yeah. I think also maybe we should also think about Ole, you know, second on the log.
No, man.
Unbeaten away from home. That's pretty impressive.
All season.
Unbeaten away. Yeah. They've also...
Cello's waiting for us to start laughing because he doesn't believe that we're actually praising his team.
No, but like, I think, you know, the dust is settled now. The season's finished. We look back and all of us here were guilty of doubting Ole for long periods of the season. He didn't look up to the job. He made some questionable decisions. I still think some of his in-game management has question marks around it. But you can't argue with where they landed up. They finished second, albeit in a kind of controversial, difficult, weird off the wall. We all said the season was junk from the start. But I think, you know, you've got to credit where it's due. And he's kind of, they were securely second. They could do whatever they wanted on the final day. And that's a fairly, when was the last time since Fergie, a United manager has had that much freedom going into the final day? I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I think two outsider
sort of candidates. I think Bielsa has to get credit for what he's done.
Yes, man. That's what I wanted to say. Yes, Nick.
And I'm not necessarily, like, you guys know my feelings towards the whole project there. And I think things do sort of have to change if they're going to stay in the league. But I also do think Rodgers needs a lot of credit as well. I know he did sort of choke, if you want to call it. But you know, they've never ever won an FA Cup.
They won the trophy.
If you look at where they were before they got promoted, two seasons before that, they were in League One. And if you had told them they would have won a Premier League and an FA Cup and been in European football by 2021, I think any Leicester fan would have told you that you are smoking your socks.
So, yes,
they bottled it. I would say so. But I also just think they've been so consistently there near the top of the league for the last couple of years, and for him to carry on from where Ranieri sort of set him up for, you know, I think he's done great. I wouldn't say manager of the season.
To be fair, Ranieri kind of left him in the shits as well. He won the league, and then they were pretty much destroyed. And then the French guy had to come in and do some,
brought them back up. He kind of stabilized for them, and then when Rodgers came in, he did. But I mean, you know, they've won a trophy. I would take a trophy and get relegated, to be honest with you.
That's two seasons.
Isn't that what Portsmouth did?
Wigan.
Didn't Portsmouth
Portsmouth get relegated the same season though, wasn't it the next season?
Portsmouth was still there. Portsmouth, next I remember, season. Played against AC Milan and Ronaldinho played at Fratton Park.
So it's Wigan, okay.
But Joe, I suppose if you flip the narrative, it becomes more of an interesting statement, because we're saying, or Settle's saying, you know, Rodgers has bottled it. But Jay, you've gone, okay, they've actually, within 2 years, they've won a league, and twice they've been in contention, final day of the season for a top four finish, Champions League spot. So that's almost showing you the trajectory of where the club is headed. And I think that's pretty exciting, especially when you can see the sort of control a manager has, or manager like Rodgers has, of the club. I mean, how many other managers at their respective clubs can claim that they have the same sort of control? I think that's
To be fair, also, you know, they did get the money for him, but if you had looked at Harry Maguire leaving a season or two ago, you would have said, oh, shit, now they need to rebuild. You know, they need to get... who would have thought Johnny Evans would have been the answer?
Yeah.
I don't even know Johnny Evans thought that, to be honest.
That guy's been a journeyman. He went from United. I don't know where he went, but then he wasn't. Where's Brom?
Didn't he go to Everton for a while?
He wasn't. Where's Brom, guys?
No, where's Brom? But you know what I was so excited about? Seeing flipping Wes Morgan there lifting the trophy. That guy won that league with them. Then he comes on the final there, and now he's retired. Think about his career. He's played in the Champions League. He's played in the Europa League. Won a league title.
With Leicester.
And an FA Cup. And he's from Jamaica.
And you know what? If we didn't know any better, he might be going around in like 10 years' time saying, what, like, Leicester are a big club, like you've been saying about Newcastle playing in the Champions League. So we don't know. That might still be coming. Also, interesting links here. Mauricio Pochettino already being linked with a return back to Tottenham. I know Roberto Martinez has also been thrown in the mix.
Yeah.
But interesting then, Matt, what do you think about that?
Oh man, I'd love to have Poch back. You know how I felt about him. I mean, when he left, it was horrible for all the Spurs fans. We didn't want to see him go. I mean, we understood the decision at the time. That we were going through a bad run of football, which now we can probably look back and see was definitely not down to the manager alone. I think, why not? Let's get the band back together. Like having there, I think it would be fantastic.
Next thing you're telling me that Danny Rose must also come back.
Why not? You know, get them all back. Get Eriksen back. You know,
Trippier after winning La Liga.
Hey, Spurs is the new Arsenal, guys. Spurs is the new Arsenal.
Kieran
Trippier and Eriksen left Spurs and they won the league after. They are the new Nazaris, Sanya, Van Persie. They all did it. Now it's Spurs.
Hazard looking to return Stamford Bridge after not being able to settle in Spain. That would be big for Chelsea, I think. If a player like that went back to Chelsea, then do we think...
Isn't he a fat boy now?
I don't know. It doesn't matter if he's a fat boy. The boy can walk back into Chelsea and that team will all of a sudden believe they can push for the title.
Run all the way back from Madrid. He'll drop the pounds. You know.
While he rolls back to London, he'll drop the pounds.
Matt, you wouldn't want the Wolves manager, Nuno.
I think that could be. I saw today. Apparently, Martinez was doing well in the odds today. That's not the kind of manager that sort of it doesn't blow your socks off. I think Nuno Espirito Santo. I think he could be a good manager for us. I think that said, I think there's a lot of work to do at Spurs. I don't think necessarily any one manager is gonna, whoever it is, they're gonna have a big task on their hands. It seems pretty likely he's gonna be doing the job without Kane. And I think that's a tough ask because he's such a focal point for how we play. So I think this, as part of that kind of interview process, they really need to kind of unpack what is the guy's plan, whoever the manager is going to be, what's their plan for reshaping the way Spurs play the game. And I think that is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Gents, there's a noise that keeps scratching. I'm not sure who it is. Is someone playing with their phone or something like that? But they keep making like a sort of noise. Anyway, next game, guys. We're going to talk about the Aston Villa 2-1 game. I mean, this is a game that Spurs, we all know, we're going to talk about. Matt, you were listening to it live, how Spurs helped Chelsea out here. Mosa was screaming. We had Chelsea fans on our call saying they're going to switch the TV off because they couldn't watch anymore. You missed that, Bonga. Mosa and Niku and a whole bunch of other guys are going, they just can't watch anymore. And in the end, you know, Aston Villa did the business. We did say this on the show. Yeah, what did you guys think about this one?
I was laughed because we ended the show last week. Who was it that said Chelsea were going to lose, Leicester would win, then Chelsea would lose the Champions League spot. Lose the Champions League spot, lose the Champions League come Saturday, and they would have lost the FA Cup final. deserve. So someone said that, and you know, we all chuckled about it and said, "Ah, yeah, that happened," but not really believing it. And
it was me.
Arjun said that.
Yeah, and it was literally happening until Bill decided to, step up, and yeah, but then it didn't last that long.
Good old Bill.
But it was funny. Good old Bill. Yeah.
I think personally for Chelsea, I think they'll have to do a lot of sort of looking at themselves in the mirror, losing, you know, an FA Cup final and losing against to Villa, going into a Champions League final. I said City aren't going to lose two games in a row before a final. 100%. They're going to go out and smash Everton, and that's exactly what they did. And Chelsea are now coming off sort of a loss in the FA Cup and now a loss against Villa. There's no real big confidence going into that, even though they've beaten them twice this season. So I would be a little bit concerned if I'm a Chelsea fan right now.
Yeah, they've shown a distinct lack of BMT when it really counts. I think that nervousness is going to sit in the pit of their stomachs getting ready for the Champions League final. I mean, they got lucky on Sunday, but Spurs aren't going to be there to save them in the Champions League.
I was about to say what you said on Discord, that Spurs would be there to save them.
Exactly.
But it's, I think Chelsea need to figure out what's going on, because if they don't, it could be a massacre on Saturday. It has the potential to be a massacre if they don't get their ducks in a row, because losing in the FA Cup final and losing on the final day, luckily didn't cost them, as you said, but they need to get their shit sorted, because otherwise it's going to be walking the park for City, and we don't want that. We want a competitive final, you know. We want two teams going at each other, and there to be, you know, some form of competition, you know. We don't want a boring final, one-sided, you know. But yeah, let's see what happens. Moses not here. I think Moses is a bit nervous about what's going on with his team.
Have you noticed how regular it's becoming? A bit of a pattern. Whenever his side loses, he definitely doesn't show up. It's an interesting thing.
It's a pattern. Yeah?
It's a pattern now. Yeah, there we go.
When they win, he's like, he's up there. You know, it's loud and it's insufferable.
He's loving it.
If he came in here when they lost, the dip in that peak is gonna be, he's gonna be harsh. It's gonna be a very, very depressing kind of show. A kid that eats sugar.
Exactly. Like, there's an instant high, then there's a huge crash. Both passes out. Guys, I'm gonna ask the question, but I think we all know the answer. But I'm gonna ask it anyway. For Chelsea, who was the player of the year?
Mason Mount.
The chosen one.
The chosen one.
Handpicked by Lampard himself. Yes.
Best player under Lampard and the best player. Okay, maybe let's say second best player under Tuchel. I would say Kante has been the best player under Tuchel, but over the whole season it's been Mount. Kante has been the better one under Tuchel, but over the season, yeah.
Not Werner. You wouldn't give it to Werner.
He was a close third.
Out of 10, what would you guys give him? I mean, they had a troublesome start, but I guess Abramovich, you know, vindicated for getting rid of Lampard and bringing in Tuchel.
I think I would give him a 5.
I don't know. I think I'd give him a 7. And if you think about it, if they're in the Champions League final, they're a top 4 spot. You know, they've incorporated some new signings.
Yeah,
with limited
all in one season, but also you've thrown all these puzzle pieces together in the one season, and you're expecting miracles. You know, it's
exactly. Yeah, I think this is a, you know, I mean, speaking as a team that was maybe considered there or thereabouts for top 4 for a long part of the season, I'd take Chelsea's season, Champions League final and top 4 finish. You know, they've stumbled, they've dropped points. I wouldn't give them an 8. I don't think they've knocked it out the park. Although if they win the Champions League, that's going to change the complexion of their season massively. I think they've had a solid season. I think most Chelsea fans would be pretty pleased with how it ended up.
Yeah, I'll give them a 7 if they win the Champions League.
I'm giving them a 7 then.
I think there were a lot of ups and downs. Lots of ups and downs for them. I mean, I think their league form was very poor. If you look at it in general, you know, they had their runs and then they had their sort of runs of actual losses and draws. But I think, like you said, getting to 2 finals is huge. But if you don't win any of them, No one's gonna remember that you made the final. So
yeah,
it's all probably dependent on this final result.
Well, we've got a Chelsea fan there in the form of Pumalani giving them a 6 out of 10, which is an interesting one. I mean, I would have given them a 7.5 just because of how it went and how, where they ended up.
If you never know what said I'm we could go decimal points. That changes everything, Claudio. We're going to be doing points as well.
7.23159.
Get the algorithm out there.
I need a bigger clipboard, guys.
I think like a 7.25, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, Claudio. It's a whole number.
But now you guys are giving more accurate sort of estimations. I mean, I think people know more or less where you sit. I mean, Pumalani, please just give us something there out of a point something something. It can't just be 6 flat. Unless, of course,
I really
it is
hope
six
you're
flat.
At 6.0.
6.01.
Are we deducting or adding points for the Hawaiian shirts? I forgot where we landed on that one.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't know. I think for some flamboyancy, they've got to get a 0.32 for that. You know, that's got to be. Yeah. Gents, you know, Nick's already touched on the Bielsa sort of effect. Leeds, 3-1 victory over West Brom. I don't think this result was ever in doubt. When we're looking in the last five fixtures, they've won 4 out of their last 5. They finished the season quite strong, only 2 points off of Arsenal. Arsenal, we know, finish 8th. Also, I just want to touch on this fact. I know we're giving Arsenal a lot of shit, but they did win 5 from 5, and they landed up in the end being, what was it, 6 points off of Chelsea. That's a top 4 spot. So that's 2 games. Had things gone their way in 2 games, who knows what would have happened there. It could have been a Champions League spot, and now I know the complexion looks far worse when we're saying it on paper and amongst everything else that has happened throughout the course of the season. But maybe it also, again, I'm saying a lot of things, it just could be the nature of what happened in the season, the turbulence of the season. But Leeds United, just to bring it back, we've got Phillips getting an England call-up. We've got Bielsa having something. I don't know if he's going to sign a contract extension. What do we think about this, guys?
He will.
I think they had a fantastic season. I think Leeds really showed that there's other ways to attack the Premier League when you get newly promoted. You know, you often see sides come in and they get very scared. They play very boring football, try and defend their way to stay, which is... It's a good tactic. They often say defenders will keep you in the league. Leeds came in and they were like, this is how we play football. This is how we played last season. This is how we're going to play this season. They just go out and they play very front foot, very kind of attack minded football. And it was fun to watch. You know, they brought something. And I think probably what's different between them and other people who've come up in the past, I think if Bielsa does stay, I do think they'll have a strong second season as well. I don't think this is a Sheffield United situation where they're going to have a great first season and then get found out and drop like a stone. I think they've got some solid, they're a well-drilled side. They've got some really exciting talents across the pitch. You know, obviously Bamford and gets most of the headlines and stuff, but they've got some solid players there in Rafinha. Like I said, Calvin Felix getting a call up. I think that's a well-deserved. I think he deserves to be there. Yeah. I don't know if he'll be one of the ones who makes the final squad. But I think he deserves to be part of that setup, if not now, then in the future. I think they're a solid side and they could do very well. And also they're one of the big sides in terms of they're the main side in Leeds. It's a big city. They've got a big support base. There's no reason that if they kind of get well managed for a couple of seasons that they can't become a big player. That's a big if in Leeds' case. They've shown form for not being particularly well managed, but I think they've earned their right to kind of have a serious go and be considered a serious top half contenders next season. You look at the squad and the style of play. If you were a betting man, would you back Leeds to finish above Arsenal or above Spurs or above Everton next season? And you know, what would that look like? I think these are guys who could really shake things up.
What's interesting is I think we've spoken about it before. If they didn't concede as many goals as they did, it's incredible to actually think where they would be.
True.
But that's not going to change under Bielsa. He's always conceded a lot of goals. So I just think from a coaching perspective, would you not try and just shore it up a little bit more and still have your expansive way, which you can, you know, Simeone's proved it at an Atletico, but he also doesn't have the players that Simeone has. I do think if they're going to continue and grow, they need investment. I've said it the whole season to kick on from 9th, they're going to have to get better quality players because eventually those goals are going to dry up at some point in the season, and the goals they concede in aren't going to dry up, and they might find themselves in a situation where they slip below halfway. But I think their owner is very savvy. Watching their documentary, I think he's very vested in the city. I see he's in touch with Lucas Radebe quite frequently on Twitter. So he's in touch with a lot of the ex-legends, and he's incorporating this sort of historical, bringing the history of the club together with what's actually happening now, to create his own story. And it's quite exciting, I think, if you're a Leeds fan.
But if yeah. I'm looking at, you know, with the defense actually showed up at the end, you know, if you look at their fixture, their results at the end of the season, they only conceded 4 goals in their last 8 games. And in those last 8 games, they had Man United, Liverpool, and City, and they only managed to concede 4 goals in those, and Spurs.
Yeah.
So they had those 4 teams in their last 8, and they only conceded 4 goals, which is great to see. You know, they beat a Burnley 4-0, a Southampton 2-0. So I think at the beginning of the season, that's when they were wide open. You know, losing 4-3 to Liverpool, losing 6-2 to Man United, losing, you know, quite by big margins. I mean, conceding a lot of goals and stuff. But I think at some point in time in the season, maybe the last 10 matches or so, I think they have done well to actually, you know, show up the defense and play better. And I think that's what they need to take into next season, because that's where now you need to. I think their left back side is weak. That Alioski guy is quite weak. They need to get a new left back. I think when Calvin Phillips is not playing, they're also very weak. I think they've probably lost 80% of their games that he wasn't playing. So if they can get someone who can replace him when he's not around, then I think they're okay, because the attacking side, they sorted. Bamford, Rafinha, Harrison. If Harrison doesn't go back to City, but yeah, they sorted. Yeah. I think.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think they've probably tried to address it, but I mean, the bottom six teams with conceding, or the top six teams with conceding goals. I mean, if they didn't concede an extra 10, I mean, it would be scary to think where they would be.
So it would be in Europe, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
They'd probably be in Europe. So maybe that will be their next challenge. Maybe that will be, hey, let me bring in another centre half and another fullback, and maybe another holding midfielder, and then listen, now we've got a chance. But yeah, he's got his specific players that he wants, and it'll be interesting to see what he wants.
The interesting thing with Leeds is that they've got these international centre backs, right? But I think the problem was they were never fit at the same time, you know. So I look at their centre backs. There's a guy from Germany who's been picked in the German squad, and there's a guy from Spain who's been picked in the Spain squad. But they've never been fit at the same time, I think. You know, it's Koch and Llorente. Those two guys have never been fit at the same time, I think. I've never seen them like playing together. I remember Koch played like beginning of the season, Llorente was injured, and then it's just all over the place. I guess they've never really had that partnership at centre back. And their captain, what's their captain's name? The guy who clattered into Jesus, whatever his name is. Yeah, he's an English boy, whatever. But so they've never really had a partnership, you know. What's up, guys? I can't remember his name. No one helped me there. No one helped me. I'm like, guys, he's like,
I don't know.
Like, who's this guy? What's this guy talking about? We just know about
Phillips. Yeah, this is a cool story, bro. Keep going.
We just know Phillips, Bielsa, and Bamford in that team. That's all we know.
By the way, how is Bamford not called up ahead of those other strikers there, guys? Come on, man.
Yeah,
you got your answer there, Silo.
Nah, that's not who I'm looking for. A-League plays right back. That's not who I'm looking for.
But I want to ask this question. Pumalani's put it forward. I mean, Bielsa at Spurs. Is this not a good option? You keep saying
no.
No, no, no. Hang on. Hear me out here. Matt keeps saying he didn't like what was going on with Mourinho being there because they're too tight at the back. Nick's been on record saying time and time again, if only they were tight at the back. Bielsa is all about flair. Kind of somewhat fits the philosophy of a Spurs. Is that not correct? Is that not, when we're aligning those sort of pillars, is that not something they should be looking into? And even more importantly, like Pum says, you know, 1 year contract extension, that's something Levy could work with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily want us to make the next managerial decision based on contract and finance decisions. I think let's make it for footballing decisions. And in that regard, Bielsa wouldn't be a terrible fit. That said, I'm not sure what his track record is of kind of bringing youth players in and that kind of stuff. Not that I don't know if he's done it or not. I haven't followed his career enough. I mean, obviously he's had there's a few young players that he's got at Leeds that he's doing an okay job with, but I just don't know. I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't have a favorite. I suppose if you had to ask me now, if the news about Poch potentially coming back is true, he'd be my first choice. But maybe that's even like Silla said, maybe that's a bad decision. Maybe we should kind of leave it where it was, you know, don't go back to,
yeah.
That's why you don't go back to your favorite restaurants too many times, you know, like the food stuff.
Talking about that, I had fish and chips today and I think afterwards, cause I've kind of killed it now to that point. I mean, it's amazing, but I don't think I can have it for a long while afterwards.
Probably.
Exactly.
And from a very awesome place, guys. If you want the best fish and chips in Joburg, it's called Fat Gary's. It's almost like Heart Bay sort of fish and chips. The only thing missing is like the guy on the side feeding the seals. You know what I mean? With no teeth. That's the only thing missing. But anyway, guys. Guys, team ranking. What would you guys give Leeds out of 10 for this season?
8.
Like an 8. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely an 8.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. They just came back. Okay, 8 out of 10. I'll go 8.5. All right, guys. We're talking about Spurs. We might as well keep moving on to the Spurs topic. I mean, what an end to the season. They were losing this game. They came back. Also, Bale's stats. Matt, please open with that. Please open with
Bale's stats are phenomenal. I mean, you know, what is it? It's 34, 35 games and 16 goals for us this season. 20 games and 11 goals in the league alone. And bear in mind that a lot of those appearances that he was doing for us were off the bench, sort of the last 20 minutes in games that were far gone during the Mourinho era where there wasn't, we weren't playing attacking football anyway. So I think, his stats are phenomenal. He showed that he still got it. One goal tell you top bins. And he made the difference on Sunday. He came in and, I mean, I think, To focus on Sunday's game a little bit, and I said it on the Discord channel, we've got to remember this wasn't a Leicester side that were at their absolute peak. There were long periods where they kind of controlled the midfield. They had a lot of the possession, had a lot of control, but they didn't create a massive amount of clear-cut chances despite all that possession. Their goals both came from penalties, one very legit, one slightly dubious. And I think in that regard, this is a game, having watched it, if I'll go back and see, and I mean, on the day, I wasn't feeling confident. I was feeling very tense, even during the match. I didn't feel like
you were. Hey, you're not yourself, man.
Oh, it was rough. But then when I look back on it now, I went and watched the highlights earlier today, and I thought, actually, if I'd watched this game, if it hadn't been the final day and if I'd just been watching it, I would have, there was actually, if you watch it, there's a clear kind of progression where Spurs grew into the game, and it was actually kind of, when we did finally score the winning goals, it almost felt inevitable, you know, like we were going to do it. Especially Bale, his direct approach, you know, the way he runs at defenders, they seem to just, I don't know, it's like they haven't yet figured out how to deal with him. He doesn't do a massive amount of tricks. He's just really quick, really powerful, like a steam engine, and they just kind of back off from him. They give him way too much space. And then he's got that incredible ability to do a very quick kind of twist, put the ball back onto his left foot and ping it in. And I think it changes the nature of Spurs going forward. I was very sad not to see Ndombele start. I really think that we could have used him when we were losing the midfield battle. I think he could have... Yeah, I feel like, hey, guys, let's not say those things about Chris. The guy needs to live for something, you know, and tell him he looks like me.
Cheers, Chris. Thanks for joining us, man.
Cheers, mate. But yeah, I think we did get punished early on in the game for not having someone more direct in the midfield. I think Højbjerg's changed his game immensely. You see the last two games, he has changed up the way he plays and he does a lot more going forward and stuff. Winks had a better game, but I still felt that we could have used Ndombele in the middle. And then I think when they made the change and they brought on Bale and Lucas, it altered the dynamic of the game. And then from there on, it felt like we were going to win. And I think it was kind of like the most Spursy thing. Right? Like we should have won this last week. We should have secured our top seven finish last week against Villa. Completely screwed the pooch on that. And then managed to pull it out the bag against Leicester, who themselves completely Spursed up their own end to the season. I think it was just such a Spurs game, but it was fun. You know, you guys heard me. I got to throw my kids around the living room. That's always a fun way to end the weekend. So I'm pleased with how it all went down.
How do you celebrate? Come on, get in there. What do you say when you said something
about this? On Sunday, I said that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But it just depends. I don't know what I'm gonna say until I say it. You know, it's the emotion of the moment.
No. You say that. But we've got other. Remember when we were doing the promo shoot, guys, and we had to do like.
Did I say it then as well?
You said the same thing. I was like, please celebrate. And you're like, that's what I'm talking about.
Muscle memory. I'm sure he doesn't say that's what I'm talking about.
I don't do that sort of slightly weird ending.
who would have said Leicester would have lost 4-2 twice in the last four games to lose out on top four?
Jeez,
and that other team came from this team.
You're
going to trip up on your own humility there, Nick.
Yeah, they killed themselves, man. They really killed themselves. Imagine if that game went the other way and they won it. Then they would have been calm on the final day.
And they had it, but they bottled it.
Yeah, the sort of... I wanted to ask you, though, Matt. We're looking at Bale now. We know he's going back to Madrid. Madrid, it's no secret. They don't want him. I mean, maybe this is a question for everyone. Where is Bale going to next? Well, what is his next career move, guys? Especially Bale, though his focus is on the Euros. We know that. But post-Euros.
So, as far as I know, Bale, well, with his last interview,
he's not going to Arsenal.
He said that he wanted to... Yeah, of course he's not going to Arsenal. But he said that he was... The way I see it, I get the feeling from Bale that he's going to just stay at... He's going to stay at Madrid and he'll finish his contract there, pile up his money and then
he's got one more year, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to finish it off. He will finish that season off at Madrid, even if it's on the bench. That's what I see.
Playing golf. He doesn't play at the bench, he's playing golf.
Two outside chances. I think either to Roma to go back to Mourinho or... the European tour could be interesting. Swansea win on Saturday and they put in a sneaky bid for him. He goes and lives in Wales.
It would be pretty sneaky because they'd have to do that. So we can't pay you in money per se.
you can come back home and you can live and you can live in your mom's
house. But he's
house
a Cardiff boy.
Is he a Cardiff boy?
He's a Cardiff boy. I think that would be a bit harsh. We can't just lump him in just because it's a Wales team, you know. That's like.
So what if Madrid offers Bale plus money for Mbappe?
That could be an interesting one.
Yeah, because he's got one more year. He's got one more year in his contract.
But he said he's not renewing.
And he's not renewing. So PSG don't want to lose him for free. So
100%.
Will you take a Bale that's not too bad and some money? What do you do?
I mean, have we made the call yet? Have we told them this idea? Because I don't want them to go do this and then we don't even get any like at least a mention in the contract. This deal determined as suggested by Stella on Goal Lounge, just so we get that shout out. So maybe they can put a Goal Lounge logo on the shirt next season.
Just give me a second, Matt. I'm going to call our lawyers right now. Hold on. We're going to
get them on. Copyright that idea.
Madrid put the stadium in the deal for Mbappe. That's how bad they want him, apparently.
Apparently that's falling apart. But that's a whole other discussion. I think Mbappe, where he lands up. But overall, guys, finish your point there, Wonga. Then we're just going to, everyone just give more or less where they think he's going to go.
No, the point is done.
Oh, the point is done. Okay. So where do you guys think he's going to land up then? I mean, PSG, that's viable. Cardiff, Swansea.
I say he stays until the contract is done. And then he'll leave for free.
So, I reckon he could do another season loan at Spurs.
I think he could go back to Spurs. I think he enjoys it there.
Yeah, I think he does.
Looks like he's enjoying his football.
Also depends on who's the coach.
But any coach would take Bale. Yeah, but would he go to any coach?
Yeah, I think so. I think he doesn't give a shit, guys, to be honest. I think he doesn't care if the team's doing well or not, as long as he gets a little run out. That's the impression I get. As long as he's running out all
this season. I think that was true this season, but now he's spent a season in the shop window. He's probably going to have a strong showing at the Euros. I think he'll quite rightly want some football next season. And in that way, maybe he won't want to stay at Spurs, because maybe he'll want to play Champions League and not freaking Europa Conference. So, you know,
also,
I think
the World Cup is obviously, if Wales do qualify for the World Cup, I'm not saying they're going to qualify, but he needs to be like doing well for Wales and playing, you know, just so he can add his, you know, his 2 cents to the team. Because obviously he's the most important player for Wales. And yeah, if he's not doing well, Wales doesn't do well.
Yeah.
Okay. But I suppose to wrap up the Tottenham talk, or the Spursy talk rather, player of the year.
It's got to be Kane.
No-brainer.
I mean,
no worries.
That's phenomenal. He was consistent throughout
Kane.
The season.
Oh, Harry Kane. Wonga doesn't agree.
I was joking.
Harry Kane.
Harry Kane. Oh, guys, my name's Harry Kane. I want to play James. I want to be the greatest of all time. Anyway.
Please say that again, but at the time, say, I want to be like Mason Ronaldo and score 50, 60, 70 goals. Please say that.
Mourinho told me I was going to be good. I'm going to be world's best. World's best. That's so funny when that other talks. So we're all agreeing, Harry Kane then.
Yeah, it's got to be Harry Kane. Nobody else
is like I saw like Micah Richards and Gary Neville and them arguing. Gary Neville was saying that Harry Kane, not once in the interview did he say he wanted to leave Spurs. But I'm like, of course he didn't say it like, you know, those words.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously the guy wants to leave. Yeah, of course, he wants to leave. It's pretty much obvious.
So we know Levy, Daniel Levy is spiteful. You say something like that in public, Daniel Levy will be like, say what now? I'm going to make sure you stay here until, you know, that's how he is.
Yeah. I think there's plenty of clubs who want him. So when the offer comes in, Levy will do a deal. It's too much money for him to just turn away from. He can't. Team rating out of 10 for Spurs, I'd say 5. I think... there were long periods of the season where we showed, you think about the first half of the season, we showed what we can do, what the potential is, what the squad's able to do. And then the collapse just showed everything that's still wrong. And the finish, as enjoyable as it was to give Arsenal that last little bit of hope and then tear it away from underneath their noses. I think it should have been a much easier finish. So I'm going to say 5 for the Spurs season.
I say 5.2.
I say 4.
4. Okay.
Listen, Selo, you can't say 4. They gave you 6. They gave you 6.
Yeah, we beat you on aggregates, even though.
Nice, Nick. I like that. Gents. All right. The time has come to obviously talk about this game. You know my team. You know how I get them to talk about my team. Anyone want to say anything before I go on a rant or go on the sort of way?
I feel like it was actually you guys. I mean, after everything Roy had done for you guys, I feel like you could have given him a more respectful send off for the end of his career. And I think for someone,
being a family club, you think that
being a family club, you think there'd be a bit more respect for you.
He was a dodgy uncle in the family that no one really liked or wanted to speak to. And somehow,
let's go for 20 minutes about how the family club put 2 past Roy's retirement party. Let's have your time. Have your time.
I said, he was an uncle in the family that no one liked.
It's such a Liverpool thing to do. You know, they don't look after their oldies.
Yeah, it's like just shove them out to pasture.
It's like, boom.
I hope Milner is watching this and he sees, as soon as he gets a little bit older, they're just going to be like, hey, off to Palace with you. Be gone. Like,
Milner is, you know what, you guys are correct in saying that, because if he was showing any symptoms or effects of his age, then he would be shipped off. The man's body's a temple. The way in which he keeps himself in shape, that's a whole other sort of... That's a conversation for another show. James Milner is still going. He's obviously... The irony behind all of that is James Milner is still in the squad and Genie's going. Yeah?
Send him to Leeds, man. Send him back to his home, to his youth team, man.
I think that'll happen. It makes sense. Not for next season. I think he'll stay another season because we need him for another season. And I think after that, then he'll go. It'll depend on what happens. It'll depend on what happens in this transfer market. But Wow, guys, what a season for Liverpool, man. I mean, top the log first half of the season. Then we get all the injuries and all the madness. Then we're sitting eighth. We're sitting where Arsenal ended up. And then somehow, you know, between the two youngsters, Phillips and Williams, out of the last 10 games, flip. And I don't know if you guys saw both of them having their eyes cut in that final game there against Palace. Both of them had gashed their eyes open. Did any of you guys see that?
I didn't watch the Liverpool game. I watched it through you on Discord, and that's enough for me. I saw the goals on Discord.
Oh, at least you're honest, you know. At least you're honest. No, but look, the heroics, and I've got to use the term heroics from both those players, because again, the one, Phillips came, he was going to play college football, and then he was loaned up to second division side in Germany, and somehow he's had a run in the Liverpool squad, and obviously the other lad, same thing, Williams was on loan to a second tier sort of club, and they both had a run in together, leading our side into a Champions League spot. So I think that was phenomenal. I think Thiago's finally finding his groove, which is incredible. I think when our big man does come back, Van Dijk, it's going to be all systems go again. And the front three, Mane, at almost typical of the season, us getting that top four place with Mane scoring right at the end, it summed up his season. The man's hairline, you know what? The man's hair was perfect the whole season. It was perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing in the Discord.
It's true. The man's hair was perfect. His hair was perfect the whole season when we won it. Then COVID happened, and the man wasn't allowed to see any like barbers or anything like that. And he came back, and his form went out the window. And now all of a sudden, the last game of the season, he comes back, and we land up in top four. I don't know if all these things are aligned. I'm talking about conspiracies and things like that. I think there's something behind that. But yeah. I think overall, I'm just, wow, we can't be too upset about coming third, despite taking everything in. I think 5 games out of 5 wins on the run. Alisson's goal towards the end. We definitely had some things to cheer about this season. We had a lot to cry about, but definitely had some things to cheer about. And can't wait for next season. I think it's definitely going to be far better than this one. That's all I can say from my side.
What would your rating out of 10 be for the season?
Oh man, absolutely roller coaster. I think first half of the season 8.5, and then it went down to like 3.1. So I think if we got to summarize that, I don't know. That's
not 2 at some point, and then went back up.
Oh my goodness, we were so bad at times though. Like honestly,
you guys couldn't buy a win. No, you guys couldn't buy a goal at Anfield. You couldn't buy it. Literally, you could have asked, you know, you could have asked Wonga for a Wonga Direct, Wonga.com loan, nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, man. I think I found my time. It did feel like times that I was staring, I'd rather stare at paint drying on a wall. That's the one thing.
I see you've got a useless captain there, according to Paul.
I know, Poops is saying things there. He's getting loud. You need to say
Poops, tell him.
Tell him. You know, he's also one of, you know, guys, shame, poor Hendo, man. The man is so underrated. If I got to compare him and Genie keeps the ball ticking, constantly keeps the ball ticking, but Hendo keeps the energy going.
Made in Newcastle.
That's the difference. No, wait, it's back to Newcastle. Genie. You're mad.
No, I said he was made in Newcastle.
Apparently, so he's come out saying that he hasn't agreed anything yet with anyone. He's going to go to the Euros and then he'll make up his mind, which is interesting. I went for a run the other day and I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a footballer, do I want to leave that up in the air based on a tournament where anything can happen? If I get injured, you know, the prospects of negotiation for your agent for wherever you go does become a bit trickier. So surely you want to like shore that up before you go into the tournament.
He's
but
probably talking. That's probably just speculation. He's probably got it signed up.
No, he he came out saying that on his personal accounts on his Instagram, and
but it could just be subterfuge, Claudio. You know, let's not.
His agent was. I was speaking to Barca, man.
And Bayern. So those are the two strongest being linked at the moment, Barca and Bayern. But
Liverpool, and then you have to choose between those two. It's like spoiled for choice, much.
Spoiled for choice.
Are we gonna not revisit everything Claudio said there, because it was the most Liverpool statements. Like he hit almost the whole bingo card. He did the next year is our year thing.
Henderson thing. Value of Henderson.
Yeah, but come on now.
Value of Henderson. He also did the the conspiracy one, this time related to the absence of barbers affecting Liverpool
team. I'm telling you. You know, if the only thing, like, preventing us from being a full-blown... Yeah, and I said he towards the end. Towards the games that we won, he was instrumental in the last five games, and that's because they had Fabinho playing with him in the midfield, and I'm not going to dispute that, and that's no conspiracy. But
yes,
the one thing that could be a conspiracy.
The last one. Fabinho back in the midfield. It's done. We are done. Let's close.
Yeah, we've hit the bingo card. The big stuff fair has been won.
I said in Discord, I mentioned this. I said, how different could Liverpool's season have been if they weren't experimenting with him at centre back and they actually just gave the youngsters a go from the beginning? Just out of curiosity. Why didn't you give that other guy a chance?
That guy from Preston.
Ish, man, that guy was a cardboard cutout. Dude.
What happened to him, bro? You know what it was?
The lad, the poor guy was going to Celtic. Yeah, he was on his way to Celtic in Scotland, and he was at Preston. But you know, all he was a free cardboard cutout that we're gonna make money off. End of the season, they'll probably sell him for 2.5 or 5 million or whatever it is. It's gonna be in Liverpool. I actually feel bad for the guy.
He hasn't played one game. How can the team want to buy a person?
Reputation. He's walked and trained at the new Kirkby training grounds. He's been in association with Klopp and the others, and that's how we make money. I mean, you guys know this is what Liverpool do. Let's not lie.
Family club. It's a family club that also engages in footballer trafficking, apparently.
And Barbara Slayton.
But no, I just wanted to round off the conspiracy thing. The only thing that would make it a 100% sort of conspiracy is if Bobby wasn't able to keep his teeth white, then I'd know the dentist shut down, the barber shops are done, then the FA got involved or someone's got involved. Then I'd say that's a huge conspiracy. But player of the season, guys. Anyone here have their player of the season from a Liverpool perspective? Anyone?
It has to be the guy who scored 20, how many goals he scored? 22.
Salah.
I was going to say Alisson.
I was going to say for the girl. Has to be.
He's such a family club thing to do. Salah standing there with his 23 goals. Like, come on, guys, look at everything I did. And they're like, Alisson, have it. You get goal of the season for that one goal.
No. Well, to be fair, like, it's worth giving. You know, Liverpool, we make no sense. You know us. So that's. You know, it's a possibility, but I think Fabinho technically throughout the course of the season in terms of what he did for the club in terms of asking to be playing out of position and carrying, at times he was helping us get through certain results. So I've got to, you know, give him a shout, obviously. But Jota, you know, for being a newcomer, he did the thing, he did the business. But obviously the way in which Phillips ended the season, that's a toss-up. But I think in the end, Fabinho's got to take it from my opinion. But the next game,
we're going to name another like three players there. Just
I mean, we could. I mean, I forgot Salah. I didn't even throw Salah in there. Salah mentioned him, so I didn't even throw Salah.
I thought you were going to say
Robertson for playing nearly. I think Robertson played close to nearly every single game this whole season.
We had no time.
Another player was
half of those games. The Greek left back.
Timmy Kuss.
Left back. What happened to him?
Good question. That is a very good question. Every time he was meant to play, the lad got injured or sick. I don't know. We've got to speak to Busby lad. We've got to speak to the killers there. How they make them in Greece, I don't know. Because this guy couldn't make it in Melwood. Talk about Trojans, not so much. Yeah. But anyway, Man City versus Everton, guys. Sergio Aguero's last game. He comes in. He does the thing.
I watched the highlights of this game. So I know what happened. Firstly, Sigurdsson, how do you miss a penalty, man? That guy's been so clutch this whole season with penalties, you know. Ask Liverpool.
Ask Liverpool
about his penalty taking skills at Anfield. But he misses a penalty, and then Aguero comes on in the second half. It was just rich in the stars. He just needed to get a hat trick for it to be complete. But like, typical Aguero goals that he scored. And I think, he deserves to go out on a high note. Got the record now for the most amount of goals for a single club, beating my man Wayne Rooney. But well done to him for an amazing career. And I hope he does well at Barca. I think he still has a lot to offer. I felt that he could have played a lot more and been a part of this, you know, them getting to the final. You know, I think he deserves to be a part of that team to get to the final. He's never won the Champions League. He's only ever won the Europa League, I think. 5-0, and I think they're going to do well in the final.
So where's everyone? Yeah, where's everyone's head at with the final? Do we? I mean, who are you backing there? Who do you want to win? I mean,
City with this form, oof, it's going to be hard to stop there.
And Aguero did say, he did say before he left Man City, he would win the Champions League with the club. Just putting that out there. And I think that that would be, and that's the only reason why I'm saying, well, yeah, let's end off that fairy tale. The man's had a hell of a career in the Premier League, one of the stars of the Premier League for the last couple of seasons. And again, my question is, he's broken this record, but he hasn't even had a full season in any of those seasons. Imagine he played a full 38 out of 38 games.
Yeah, it would be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where would you guys rate him? Where would you rate him in terms of, if they're talking about Hall of Famers in Premier League strikers history, where would you guys put him?
He's easily a Hall of Famer on his own. He's, you know, the consistency to have done it over such a long period in such big games at such important moments. He's shown BMT, he's shown class, he scores different types of goals. There's been times, not so much this season, but previously there's been instances where he drags the side along and, you know, the rest of the team have a bad day and he'll do something incredible, turn it around, make a difference. He's stood the test of time, you know. He's been there at City a long time. They've got all the money to replace him. There's people have come in and gone out around him, and he's consistently been able to show his quality and adapt to players around him and play with different kinds of players. Definitely a Hall of Famer for me, you know, without doubt. He's any side in the Premier League would take him today.
Yeah.
You know, he's leaving City, but there isn't one of our clubs who would say, "Oh no, thank you." He'd walk into the starting lineup at anybody else in the Premier League. He's 100%. Immense. Yeah.
He's definitely one of the best strikers that have touched the Premier League, obviously. So
definitely,
yeah. So definitely deserves.
It's going to be interesting to see him and Messi together. Obviously, they've got the relation. He's what, the godson. Messi's the godson
of his kid, yeah.
Of his kid. So yeah, that's going to be quite interesting. The Argentinian connection there.
But they've struggled to play together, though, those two, for Argentina at the very least.
Mm. Yeah, no, so but also limited time, though. Limited time. You know, if you're playing in club football week in, week out, maybe they will get the connection.
Claudio, don't forget, hey, that they won the Olympics together. So that's the only year. It is long ago that they won something together. But they won it together. So there was a bit of chemistry there, I guess, with Argentina, man. They got to the World Cup final, you know, and if it wasn't for Gonzalo Higuain, wasn't he in an offside position? He scored a goal from offside position.
Guys, you mentioned him. You mentioned Higuain. I was watching him play for Inter Miami the other day.
Yeah?
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Yo, the guy did not run, but also into Miami. What a shit side. I know it's a brand new side and everything, but I was watching it, and I'd rather watch, and this is a huge statement, by the way, I'd rather watch a PSL game than watch what I saw on that day.
Was it that just bad? Putting that
out. It was horrific. Like, Sundowns would go there and give those guys at least 10. That's how bad they were. I don't know what Neville's doing there, but anyway, Man United guys, you know, they can't, not all of them, ask Nick about Steve Bruce, not all of them are great coaches. Guys, okay, this is a good sort of statement.
At least they try and coach.
Guys, here's the fair thing. If City wins the Champions League, do you think it's about time we finally scout a City fan to come into Goal Lounge TV?
I don't know if we should just let any old riffraff in here. We've got kind of elite setup here. It's very VIP. You know, now we're just going to open the door to anyone. I don't know how just I feel about that. Right. That'd be a very specific type of City fan, you know.
We need to vet them, eh? Can they go through an interview process, please, man?
Yeah, like a panel setup.
Yeah, like all of us, like ask them questions.
Yeah, you guys went through our CEO has to do the hard research there. We have a scouting team here that do their business before, yeah? Yeah?
Pumlani's one here. Does he mean the movie we saw in the FA Cup final? Where Chelsea... is there another movie? Was there a movie I missed?
Talking about movies, you guys see they want to make a movie about Jamie Vardy's... Premier League
career.
Can you
imagine how cool that movie will be?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Drinking beers and just like,
you guys heard about his vodka with the Skittles thing? He had a habit.
I've heard many things about.
I don't know the exact. I don't know if it's completely true or whatever. But apparently, what he used to do to celebrate scoring a goal back when he was lower league was take a bottle of vodka, pour a packet of Skittles in, let it dissolve, and then drink that whole bottle. And that was his thing. Apparently, the season they won the Premier League. Klopp had to step in and get him to stop doing that because it's like it's their elite footballers now and he can't keep playing that game. I don't know if that's true. I really hope it is and I want it to be in the movie. I'll watch a movie just for that.
Yeah. Well, and if it's not in there, you're giving a terrible rating, right? Okay, guys, player of the year.
Wait, I forgot which team we're talking about now.
City. We're talking about City.
That team.
Gundogan for me.
Diaz.
Diaz. Also, Andrea, welcome. Yes, guys, I don't know if this has been announced, but it looks very likely that obviously Kabak's going back to Germany and Konate from Leipzig is coming to Liverpool. You know, Liverpool like to get their business done very early.
Yeah, we talked about the trafficking earlier.
Yeah, we did. We spoke about it. Okay. All right. Diaz, Gundogan, Nick, do you want to give a shout there? Wonga, do you want to give a shout there for player of the year?
I think De Bruyne has to be in the, in the sort of discussions. I think Foden also has to be, but I think Diaz did for.
I love it.
Ruben Diaz.
To get the Portuguese accent right, you got to talk like that Count Dracula thing from Sesame Street back in the day. Like one.
Arjun is just joined us.
What? Arjun!
Hey,
welcome, man. Welcome. We missed you. I mean, you've come in quite late, but we might push this episode a bit longer because you joined us. And also someone else, guys, Miguel Tomás. 2 out of 2, yeah. He made an appearance on Thursday. He's back. Yeah, no riffraff on Goal Lounge TV. Also, Miguel, I don't know if you were here while we spoke about Liverpool, but you might have just missed it because I don't think the guys are going to let me keep talking about them.
Is Miguel and Andre related?
Yes, they are. They are.
They're brothers.
Brothers from the same mother. Okay. All right, Bonga.
Brothers from the same mothers.
It's unnecessary to clarify that. I feel like a nasty story. Was there some sort of hospital-related mix-up?
Stop it.
Claudio gets a fellow putter on the show there, he gets excited. So
he does.
He gets animated.
Yeah.
I thought having Matt on the show, being married to a Portuguese lady, would have given me the same sort of impact. And I've got to say, it's kind of worn off a little bit. It hasn't kept going.
I mean, can you blame me? Look at me. I'm not exactly... I don't ooze Mediterranean-ness.
All right, Wongo. Hey, player of the season for Man City. What's happening there?
Yeah, I think I agree. I would say Ruben Diaz. Because of, I mean, obviously what he's been very instrumental in that defense line, getting them back. We can't forget about the performances of Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden. I think that's what every team will need when they win a league. I think even with Liverpool, when they won the, and I'm talking English league specifically, when Liverpool, when they won the league, they were, had like 4 or 5 players firing. And here's Man City, they've got the same, but obviously there's always that one standout player. So yeah, I would give it to Ruben.
Okay. All right. Wolves 1, Man United 2. Celo, you're the only one watching this game.
I thought you forgot about me again, but it's good to hear that I'm not forgotten. I know
save
my
the
my
best
season.
For last. Save the best for last. There's also season. Some other questions here, Celo. There are other questions that are pertaining to you that we're gonna be asking, but yeah, so we might as well end off with this game. Yep.
Yeah, I know, man. It was a good performance. Good to see some lads that don't get a run playing. But also, Solskjaer should have been using these players during the season, which infuriates me. Then you get a result where, you know, players, when they do come on as subs, aren't ready to have an influence. Remember, I think we spoke about Bale earlier in the season. The fact that Bale would only come on, would play Europa League one game and then only, you know, get a couple of minutes in the league. you know, and he wasn't firing at that point in time. But once Bale started getting regular games in the Europa League and the Premier League, that's when you saw Bale scoring the goals, you know, and he got the hat tricks and the braces and stuff like that. You know, so these players need a run of games. So your Donny van de Beek's, he had a great game. You know, your Amad Diallo's, Anthony Elanga scored a goal, you know, the youngster. So all these guys just need a couple of games to do well. Hey, Aman! Hey, you in the championship playoffs final. Brentford.
Yeah,
hey,
Brentford, boys.
Yeah.
We're rooting for you. Aman, we're rooting for you.
2 wins in 1 week. He's joined our Discord channel, as well as the fact, you know, Brentford in the playoffs there. Also, Miguel and Dre, you guys need to join Discord. I don't know what's taking so long. Don't forget, guys.
And Aljun.
Yes, join us in Discord. Aman's there. Please, come join us there. As you were saying, Selo. As you were.
How did Mata play, Selo?
Can I just jump in on the United one quick? I saw a stat, and maybe you can confirm me if it's true. Apparently, since something like 1939, 50% of all the players who've played for United have come through the academy.
That's true. Jeez. That is true. Because we ended the game, I think, with 6 youth products on the field, I think. So we had Henderson is a youth product. We got Fish, who came on like the last 2 minutes. He's a centre back. And then we had Hannibal Mejbri, who just won the Reserve Player of the Year. Then we won Shoretira, who won Young Player of the Year. Then we had Elanga as well on the field. Did I miss anyone else? Okay, the 5 of them, they were on the field at the same time, which is great to see. That's always been the ethos of Man United, you know, the 92 team. You know, there was a previous team as well where it had Pogba, Lingard, and Ravel Morrison. Okay, cool. Ravel Morrison didn't become the guy he was. But another team was Tonzebe, Rashford, and who else? Someone else I'm forgetting now. But you know they've always had players that are coming through, you know, regularly. You know, Greenwood is in the team now. He's just 19 years old. So yeah, so I think that's quite good. The fact that Man United keeps on producing the youngsters, and I think next season as well, we need to ship out some players so that these youngsters can be the bench players. You know, even if you have about 2 or 3 youngsters on the bench, it's good for their growth as well if they're not going out on loan. So I feel like a Mata and a Matic need to leave. I already heard that Mourinho wants to bring Matic to Serie A. Perfect, go. We've got your best. We wish you well. You know, you and Jose have that romance. Jose signed in from Chelsea to United. So yeah, go to Roma. Mata must go back to Spain and maybe go play for Valencia. Valencia needs some experience. So yeah, so if those two players leave, it leaves some space for the youngsters to come from the bench, and then we can loan out some players. You know, Brandon Williams can maybe go to Newcastle. Newcastle needs some quality.
Brandon Williams,
yeah, but he has need some quality in the defense, bro.
You're not taking him seriously.
You need some space, but also I think Dan James might leave. Daniel James, there's rumors of him leaving, and I think Leeds wanted him last season. So if they want him again, I'll definitely give Leeds Dan James, man, because he really doesn't offer much.
Pum's asking the question there. Henderson taking the number one spot, Selo.
When? Tomorrow or next season?
Good question. Let's just say for tomorrow.
No, it's De Gea. Oh, that's not even a question. There's no debate
but
about
then why
it.
Why did you clarify?
Yeah.
No.
I want to be very specific so I can ignore you completely.
No. So if he's talking about next season, I'm really not sure what Solskjaer is going to do for next season. He's clarified. So for next season, I really don't know what Solskjaer is going to do. There's a lot of moving parts. There's rumors of Spurs wanting a goalkeeper, so we could maybe throw in a Henderson plus another player plus money for Kane. You know, there's just, you know, all these rumors being thrown around of how we can best utilize the players that we do have at our disposal. But definitely next season we cannot have two number ones in the team. One of them needs to go. We're going to sign Tom Heaton as a second choice goalkeeper because Romero is also going to leave. So yeah, so I think we need to definitely, Solskjaer needs to decide, and I'll back him. Maybe if I don't know, but yeah, De Gea is a legend for me. So It's a bit of an emotional one if he lets De Gea go. I love the guy. So if he lets him go, then I guess we'll just have to say, cool. I'll be angry at Solskjaer for a bit, but I'll understand.
So I guess the player of the year for Celo has to be De Gea because he's so in love with him. So I think you can move on to the next.
Is that how it works in your criteria there, Celo?
No. I need to use a Claudio criteria, guys. What does Claudio go again? You know,
name the whole squad.
Name the whole squad.
Before you name the whole squad, you have to identify a very weird conspiracy that prevented you from winning the league. Like, did they cut off a supply of like sandwich filler near Old Trafford, so the players were always eating empty sandwiches, and they were like, ah, no ham again.
Yeah. No, I mean. That sounds plausible. I mean, I would go with that.
I mean, they were terrible at home. So I think we need to look in the catering in and around Old Trafford, see what's
going
on.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, now that he mentions it, yeah, it's something I put my money behind. Let's go look into that. Yeah, but player of the season, Celo, what do you think?
Yeah, no, player of the season, I think the two players that won already at the Man United Awards are the two most deserving guys. Luke Shaw won player of the season, and then Fernandez won the player of the season. So those two guys have been our two best players. And it shouldn't come as a surprise if they're in the Premier League team of the season. So those are the two best players for Man United this season, definitely. A big shout out for Harry Maguire since Christmas. I think he's definitely been, but definitely, one of the best defenders in the league since Christmas. So I think we've given him a tough time, but I think from Christmas he's definitely shown his worth to the team. And yeah, I think he's not going to play tomorrow, so he's definitely going to be a big miss. Tomorrow? With Arjun saying Johnston, man, it's all good and well to be bringing back Johnston, but we're going to be preventing him from flourishing. You've seen now he's been included in the England squad. It's been included in the England squad.
Championship.
Ah, man, who needs a goalkeeper? Wanga, maybe. Who else? I'm trying to think who needs a goalkeeper. I think Southampton needs a steady number one. They don't know who their number one is. Maybe Johnston.
I don't think that's really how transfers work, Celo. You don't get to just pick and choose. Like, hey, I want my player to develop, so I'm going to dump him in your squad for a season. Treat him well.
Matt, I'm glad you're explaining that to him, because I think that's been the issue with the Man United transfers over the last couple of seasons. So thank you for that. Some clarity.
But you know, that's another year with Harry Maguire. So the England fans sing, he drinks the vodka, he drinks the Jaeger, his head's fucking massive. Harry Maguire. That's out of the year.
I don't know what you said. It doesn't even rhyme. It doesn't rhyme.
You created that song today, probably.
No.
He just coined that now, guys. Write it down.
He drinks the vodka.
Are we singing the song?
I'm on. Harry Maguire. Harry Maguire. I promise you, you'll find it at the World Cup.
I'll check it out.
This is live off the press, guys. Nick doesn't sing every day for anyone, but he has done that for our audience. So please feel grateful. Right, Celo, out of 10, what would you give Manchester United? Yeah.
I think, starting the season, our goal was to make sure that we still in the top four. I know a lot of people didn't say we're going to be in the top four. Even after, probably 10 games in it, people were saying never. I told you guys that we were going to be in the top four, and yeah, man, I told you guys, please, I told you so. You must remember that, guys. Hello, I told you so. Hello.
The answer to this question is a number, and you are writing an essay
every time.
I'm pulling a Wonga here. So out of 10, realistically, man, I think I have to give Man United a 7.5 for the season. Because I have to give them a 7.5 because, oh man, the two matches after each other. Sheffield, we lost at home, and we drew against West Brom, and then we drew against Everton. Those three games. Oh man, flip.
Look at the values coming in here. We've got 6.3333. Even we've got our guests are giving you stuff before you even explained yourself. We've got Carlo Pena. The current voting criteria is
8.25. I said 7.5. I think yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, you guys are second in the league. You got into a European final.
I said 7.5.
Yeah, but look at how Aljun, look at Aljun's, look at his crutch, look how he's broken this down. I think this is a fair assessment. 8 for the league, so pretty much leaning towards what Matt's saying. I think that's fair. 0 for Champions League, cool. 5 for Europa, okay.
5 for Europa, maybe 7.
Yeah, no, you got to give 8 for Europa. Actually, fuck, that's 10 out of 10, bro. What am I saying? That's like a 10. If they win, it's 10 out of 10 then.
Yeah, if we don't win, it's a 7.
7.64 or something.
But me, it's a 7.5, man, because I don't want to be... I can't be too harsh on the guys because... Beginning of the season.
Because you love them.
Because no one in this panel gave us a chance of being top 4, but here we are, number 2 in the log. And then obviously thinking back about what happened during the season, I'm giving you a bit of a Claudio thing here, conspiracies, you know, and all that stuff.
Unbeaten away all season.
Unbeaten away. So that's why I'm saying a 7.5, guys. Because if I go higher than that, you know, I it would be unfair.
If you win tomorrow, Carlo was saying, if you win tomorrow?
8.
No? An 8.
Eight.
So a whole trophy is worth half a point. 0.5.
8. No. It has to be worth all the points.
But don't forget.
Okay. I just don't understand. I want to see.
It's not Champions League. It's not the UEFA Champions League. That's what we want to be winning. Champions League is worth a 3 for me.
Okay. All right. I've been asked to say Manchester United. So I once went out and this old Portuguese guy was saying how he supports Manchester United. And the way in which he said or pronounced Manchester United was Manchester United. Okay, Manchester United. And I've been asked to say that. So that's how the guy said it. All right. But now for the big question.
Can I give you a quick stat, guys? Quick stat.
Yes, please. Opta, Nick. Nick found it new. King of the North is evolving for next season.
He was getting ready in case Newcastle got relegated. He was going to be like, I can stay, guys. I'll be the Opta guy.
It's his new job. It's about Aguero. Aguero, he scored a lot of goals. I don't know how much it is. But he's missed 106 games for Man City with 25 different injuries/illnesses.
Nuts.
Imagine how many goals he would have scored.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's mad, actually. Okay, guys, now for the important questions of the episode, before we round off, we've got first question, prediction time. Will Wonga get a beanie sponsor next season? Yes or no?
Oh, I hope so. It'll just make me so happy. Especially when it's the beginning of the season and it's like we're like, or towards the middle of the season, like November, December, when it's super hot and he has to wear it still because it's sponsored. And his little head is sweating underneath that thing.
Wonga, you've got it there. Show us the one that you have so we can show the sponsors out there what we need to improve upon, please.
How good you look. Yeah.
Show the people.
Hey, man, this is for real deal.
But you got to do it in a way. Maybe you got to make this enticing. So, you know.
Yeah, build up.
We're putting you on the shop window. Oh, he's look at
that. He's the Swiss Alps. He's definitely the Swiss Alps.
Yeah, straight off the slopes and into the show.
Look, Aljun saying it's an easy yes. Aman saying easy yes. So come on, beanie sponsors out there, give us something. Wonga needs it. Right, guys, the next one is a big one. This is a heavy one. I mean, we've spoken about players of the season. We've spoken about team ratings. This one's very aligned to Goal Lounge. And the first one is best host, Claudio or Cello or Nick. All three of us, obviously, this is what I'm meant to be doing. The other two have had stints. What do you guys think? Feel free to tell us. All right?
I do like the way Cello gets really into the cuckoo bit. I just feel there's an emotion there. He's obviously thinking about the gayo when he does it because there's so much love. Nick is always super professional. You see it when he's suddenly in host mode. He sort of sits slightly taller and he's very like,
yeah, he's
I've got to try. Yeah, he's sort of. Okay, guys, now we're going to talk about the Leeds game.
All right.
That's funny.
And I think, Claudio, you're very good, obviously, just, other than the family club conspiracies and the tendency to believe them.
Bias, please. In my household, we don't say biased. We say bias, you know, because you're buying the people.
Bias.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Gary
Neville says me. Gary Neville says me.
Gary Neville.
I think they're comparing the two of you. You need to buy one of those little things for next season. So
oh, like that's the little,
the one that Neville's always got.
All right, guys, and then the last one, the last question for the episode before we wrap up. And this one, viewers, please be honest, yeah. Goal Lounge TV rating out of 10 for the season from the fans. And, of course, a lot of you are joining us in Discord, so if you give us a shit answer, we're going to have you in the Discord Football Banter channel. So think about that. Think about that before you say anything. Carlo, what do you say? He says, just because I can't vote, I don't see for anything. He's got to say Celo. Well, that's not bias. You talk about bias. Celo.
Hey.
I love this one. Arjun, you legend 11. You've made the show. A lot of the viewers, all of you guys, Pums, you guys have made us keep going. And thank you very much. We'd really appreciate it. Guys, final thoughts before we leave.
Aman gave us a 20.
Aman gave us a 20. All the way from Indonesia.
Indonesia giving us a 20. We still need to make a plan.
Which city is Aman in? And then which did Arjun say is in Melbourne?
Aman is in Melbourne. I've got a friend in Melbourne he needs to meet with, but he is a little bit fan.
Melbourne, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
is Aman? I thought Aman was in Indonesia. Who's in Indonesia?
Yeah, Aman is in Indonesia, and then Arjun is in Australia.
Guys, this is what I like to hear. Pum saying the honest truth here. You know, 10 prepares him for the weekend. He can't watch the ones on Super Sport. You know why, guys? Because the ones on Super Sport aren't very good. I mean, that's a fact.
And there's a banter.
No banter. Not being there.
There's no beds. No. Oh, it's Jakarta.
Okay, cool.
It's Jakarta, Celo. There's no need to put a, you know.
I thought this was the accent section of the show, guys.
Arjun is in
Sydney. Golan, Edmund, do you want to relook at your vote for the best host after that role of Arbor? The character. Come on, man. Surely someone has to vote for me now. I promise.
All right, guys. Last thoughts. I mean, I've got something I want to say, but anyone else? Final thoughts before we bounce.
Well, the pain is over for me. Yes, I was watching that, going through that season. Gee whiz, goodness me.
It's not over. We're going to come back next season, Wonga.
Yeah, that's fine. It's over. Yeah, they will be better, definitely. It's over now.
At least, guys, Arsenal starts the new season, number one. Don't forget that. Arsenal, number
as always.
One.
You see it, guys. You see it. Thank you. You're the man. I bet you if you had to ask Arjun who his second team is, he's definitely going to say the Entertainers from 95. Newcastle all the way.
And I feel like you're reaching.
You've got a couple of points. Don't get ahead of yourself.
North London is dead. Right, guys. I've got something. Genie Van Alden. Genie Van Alden. I've got to say it. I mean, I'm not going to be able to say it again. Genie Van Alden.
He's off to Barcelona.
Right, guys. Thank you for joining us. We love seeing you. We're going to be back on Thursday. We've got plans for the Euro, so stay tuned. If you haven't joined our Discord channel yet, do the thing. Chat to us. Join us. Be involved. And also, we're going to cover the Champions League final live again in the boys channel like we did on Sunday. And remember, if you don't know what to be
cool.
Away, away, away.
Cheers.